But right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And I know Cynthia's there. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning.
And the other one is not. I had a feeling. So, folks, you're going to have to listen to this.
It's all right. Mercury retrograde.
There we go. I knew that there was an error. I just didn't feel right on my fingers. And
hello.
There we go. That is Janet Banco, who's joined us along with Cynthia Hauswinter. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, we take a look at the front page of the Lakeville Journal. And there's that horrible clock that tells us after Halloween, daylight saving times begin, which means it's pitch black at 4:30.
That's Sunday.
Yeah, it actually ends. Daylight saving ends. We did that
standard
in Lakeville this week.
Well, it doesn't matter. It gets.
Anyway,
we all know.
Yeah,
we all know it gets
dark an hour.
We all know it gets dark too early.
Yeah, it's
the beginning. It doesn't even get light. Doesn't even get light early enough.
Those are the week. This is the time of year that I get up in the dark and go to work and go home. It's dark.
So many. Do.
What's even worse is I do that. I at least come in early. This is just
sounds
normal
like
time. It's dark.
A groundhog. Yeah. I sound like a groundhog. All right. So let's look at the main story that you've got written here and. We're all feeling it now. Painful fall and winter ahead. COVID-19 surges in not only the northwest corner, but Columbia County is just scary to look at. When I spoke to Mark Herko, he just pointed out something that was so obvious, that at first when we had COVID around here, we had COVID from the outside. Now our COVID is community-based and reaching out. And that is the big difference.
And I think it's really important, however, and I'm sorry to... It's just that you have to also focus on how many people are recovering. They get it, and they recover.
Yeah, that's true.
It's important because otherwise, if you are using your March metric, you're not going to...
I don't think it's as important as letting people know that because the younger people are getting it more.
And they're bringing it home.
And they're bringing it home. That's the reason why it's important to point it out about the sheer numbers and the cases, simply because of who it can possibly affect in the corner than that which we live. But, Cynthia, you've got a great story here about Connecticut. But like I said, in Columbia County, they are just having an unbelievable boom of cases. It's scary.
Well, so Deborah Alexinas did a phenomenal job over the last 2 weeks of covering what was a sudden burst. And I haven't really heard in the last couple of days of any new cases, which makes me feel like whatever had happened has been stopped. And let's hope that the last couple of weeks was the worst that we see of it here in Litchfield County. And, of course, our sympathy for people across the state line. But very interesting story that we had to keep updating as we were going to press. And Dr. Herko, the head of Sharon Hospital, said he's worried. And we'll see how whether there's a field hospital built in the parking lot at Sharon Hospital again, as there was in spring when this first started, which, knock wood, we were happy to have not had to use. Sharon Healthcare Center is no longer a COVID recovery center because there were, I think, three nursing homes in the state that Apple Healthcare was renovating. They had been closed down. They've quickly been reopened and renovated, and those are now full COVID recovery centers. But, I think one of the statistics that we're seeing and that's mentioned in the article is people have become a little more comfortable about, like, well, this is my pod, and I'm only going to hang out with my pod, but that we are seeing a lot of infections coming out of those small intimate gatherings where people feel like, well, I know you, and I'm going to take my mask off. And you don't actually know where other people in your pod have been. And I always say that, everybody seems to have about, if there's 50 things you need to do to protect yourself and your family, most of us are super diligent with about 25, but not everybody's diligent on the same 25. But we do still need to wear masks, and we do still need to, maybe quarantine a little bit and hygge in, as they used to say a couple years ago when the Scandinavian concept of hygge and staying home by the fireplace was such a big deal.
I think that regionally, statewide, and nationally, the big worry for most doctors is the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, right. New Year's. I mean, people will be indoors and be together, and I think that is their big worry, and even a little bit locally. But that is the thing that really I think that most people in medicine are worried about is getting through the holiday season.
Well, Halloween is a test case, and the CDC, and so all the state guidance says go to the CDC website, and the CDC pretty definitively says trick-or-treating is a very high-risk activity and doesn't say, like, you can't do it. It just says it's a very high-risk activity. We'd recommend that you not do it. And I've spoken to a couple of officials who have said, no, it doesn't say that. And it's like, it very clearly says it. But, you know, I'm in Salisbury, and they've closed off my neighborhood, and the kids dropped off bags of treats, which was very sweet. But, you know, so now we're going to do trick-or-treating at my house. And I have to say, I'm nervous about it, and I feel like, you know, I understand that the kids really want to get outside. It's been a really long summer for them, and they've been through a lot and have been champions about wearing their masks to school. But, you know, as the state police always say, children are very excited on Halloween, and things that would be normal safety precautions sometimes get ignored. So if we're this keen to do Halloween, I think that for Thanksgiving, especially after people have been isolated for so long, it's going to be a, you know, it's hard to imagine that people are going to just say, like, oh, I'll just stay home this year. Nobody come over.
Well, there's a balance also that has to be found between living. You know, and this is one of the things that's just so hard is...
The reason it makes it hard is that the federal government hasn't taken a firm stance. And I'm not saying with a shutdown, but putting out rules for social distancing and mask wearing.
And the other thing, by the way, with mask wearing is really critical.
If the federal government did that, I think you would have more people that would obey that.
But if the CDC is saying trick-or-treating is a high-risk activity and everybody's like, okay, we're trick-or-treating, and town officials are saying...
Go ahead. Then you have a it's and the other thing, just people forget this all the time. Just because they're human. But just because you're wearing a mask doesn't mean you don't have to social distance. That's the other bit.
Well, no, you have to do both together. But
right.
Anyways, we'll see what happens with Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Boo.
And we'll start off the new year, hopefully, in much better shape.
And do read this article. It gives a lot of really good information. Deborah spoke to a lot of experts.
Yeah. I want to go to another story, seeing as we've got COVID-19 in our mind a little bit, and Halloween. Medicare, even though it looks like it might go away, the Affordable Care Act, if you're really, it's more important now than ever that you don't put off signing up, because that might be your only available option in about a month and a half, 2 months. So,
right, really good article by Patrick. A talk that was done at the Scoville Library. I think there was a second one, but I think it was yesterday. Offering guidance. It is confusing, and in my daughter's is a beneficiary of the Affordable Care Act, and I would say we had a very hard time signing up, so don't put it off to the last minute. You're going to need a little support and probably more paperwork than you realize.
Yeah, it's more complicated, and it doesn't help also that you have all these fake insurance companies that are advertising about the different plans that no cost. Yeah, the phone call is no cost. If you're going to get health insurance, no matter whether you get it from Medicare or Medicaid, or there is a cost involved. So just look for the best thing that's for you. I want to go to the top because you've got a look for election results online November 4th. I just cannot wait until we are past election night. Even though we probably will have lawsuits and everything for the next 2 weeks afterwards, I just can't. We have to turn the leaf over. We have to.
Let's hope that things get somewhat resolved somewhat quickly. So the Lakeville Journal schedule is that we go to the press around midday on Tuesday. So of course we won't have the election results. And normally what we would do is we would go to the town clerks, but because there's all different kinds of voting this year, we're not going to go to the town clerks because they'll send us, and the registrars will send us information at the end of the day Tuesday. We're going to wait and see what the final numbers are that are sent to the Secretary of the State so that they're more accurate and complete. And as soon as those numbers are posted, we will get them together and get them on our website, and then we will hope to have them in print in our next issue of the 12th, I think.
All right. A nice story about home generators with a Zoom talk.
Yeah, there are a lot of people during the August tropical storm had to get their generators up and running, and many people didn't really understand how their generators work. And, of course, now as we're coming toward winter, a lot of people are thinking about buying a generator. So a very good talk still online at the Cornwall Association, which got some very interesting experts and a lot of good discussion. The link is in the article.
And what people should remember when you get your generator, It has to be maintained on a yearly basis.
And not only that, it needs to test itself. I know stories about people who don't want the noise. Yeah, it's like, well,
You got to set up his testing as well.
And it needs propane. So there's an interesting balance that's discussed in the article about, you know, a bigger unit needs more propane. And you may not be able to get propane if there's a big storm, as there was with Isaias when the gas stations were overrun.
Yeah, so I want to move on because this is an interesting story. I've spoken with Carol Sadlon about this off and on. The New York State is allowing movie theaters to open up with 25% capacity. But Carol Sadlon is taking a wait-and-see attitude, I don't think she feels comfortable opening up in piecemeal, you know?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, when you talk about how high the numbers are in New York State, you can't blame her for sort of not wanting to, you know, potentially expose her customers, but also what if you open and then you close again? And, you know, it's a lot, and we're continuing. We chose over the summer to continue to work remotely just because it is, you know, somewhat traumatic to return to your workplace and then have to redo your systems.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that because we have kept the building closed to the public here. People have said to me, why? Well, simply because, and you're a business, you can't afford reporters and staff getting sick. We can't afford that here.
But it also goes back to what you were talking about earlier, which is you don't know where everybody's been.
Yes.
Everybody, the individuals, like, oh, you know me. It's like, yeah, but what we don't know is who you were hanging out with and who they were hanging out with.
Right, and everybody has a different sense of what's acceptable. I'm going to let us race through because Janet's got a ton of letters that I know you guys are going to want to talk about. So I'm just going to jump to the Falls Village Housing Project, which did get an approval, which, of course, Janet will discuss as we get into the letters. But Falls Village, we're still waiting to hear on Salisbury.
Salisbury has a meeting coming up. But also, you do have the Sharon Green, once again, added a couple of new tree plantings to the green in Sharon here because the green is really... the green is Sharon. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
really look at it.
And also a new holiday tree for 12 years down the road.
Yeah. All right. Well, what we will do is we will hop over to the opinion pages and the letters to the editor pages, and then we'll go back to Compass and other things.
Well, and we have a town page, too. But, yeah, this is the last week before the election, so... I understand how you feel, Marshall. We'll all be glad to see Election Day come and go. But we will also hope that things are resolved in a good way. We have a lot of letters, and they're across the board. We've had a lot of election letters already. We do have more, but we also have letters on housing, which has the housing... proposals in Salisbury and Falls Village have really become contentious, and this has happened historically every single time affordable housing is brought up. So look at all sides of it. You can see sides of it in the letters we have this week, and read the letters on each of your candidates and see what you learn about them, because these are folks who really care about their electoral process, and you know, they believe firmly in their candidates, so they'll tell you things you may not see elsewhere.
You know, it's interesting about the housing at letters and in Falls Village, the main concerns aren't about what the houses look like. It's just about the people that are against it claim it's just too far out of the center of town. And then you've got Salisbury, where basically I think they've done a great design job with the building, because it looks like a building that used to be there 500 years ago. But once again, there's a question about size and everything like this.
And traffic.
There are always
issues that are brought up during these discussions. And, of course, they should be looked at and resolved.
But I feel sorry for planning and zoning folks. I really do, because... These are volunteers, and there's just so much on their plate, and there's so many legal things that they have to do. You can be opposed to something, but remember that these are your friends and neighbors that are on, volunteered their time to be on these commissions. So
that's right, and there are very few reasons why they would try to do anything they didn't think was correct legally or correct for the town. They are very motivated, as you say. They're volunteers. They care about their towns and their communities, and they certainly try their best to be right. You know?
You know, as much as I used to harp about our Region 1 administration and the school board, they were volunteers. And right. There's a certain point you get to and you just say, okay. Let's go to your editorial, because a feeling unsafe in your own home, because this is domestic violence awareness, and that might have been overlooked because of the COVID-19 pandemic and everything like that.
Right, and yet that certainly has added to issues with domestic violence in the past month. And this is a year where there may have been awareness only because there were challenges that came with COVID that included a lack of ability to tap into resources and heightened awareness within households and stress levels that are incredible and unexpected. So everyone should be aware that there are resources out there. If you are in your home and don't, remember when COVID started, libraries closed too, so that there were people who didn't have access to internet, for instance, that was not looked over by an abusive partner. So,
it's been really it's really worth being conscious of, because it hasn't by any level by any stretch been a walk in the park. I mean it's dangerous.
It's what your editorial points out, Janet, that's so good, is that this is a perfect storm. You have households that might have spouses that are together, and they have the normal pressures where you have the normal reactions. But then, like you say, you add the additional people losing jobs, people having to stay home, be the teacher for the children.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've passed that breaking point. You've passed that breaking point where really the pressure just becomes too immense.
And the feeling of isolation can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So don't feel too isolated to reach out for help if anyone needs it. We list here the services in the area. There are two local ones and a statewide one. And the statewide site actually is quite good. It's the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and it has so much information on it for anyone who wants to look into these resources and programs that are available to them. But also, the local one, Susan B. Anthony, and Women's Support Services. But all the information is here. Look it over and think about it. Think about your family and friends as well as yourselves, and help them look for support if they need it.
All right. And before we get to Compass, the real estate section.
Yeah. We have Tricona Real Estate.
Immense.
And, boy, this is one part of the economy that has thrived during COVID. So it's fun to look through and see what's available, but things are still, I think, going fast. Cynthia can speak to this even better than I, but properties are still going fast. So if you see something you like, jump on it.
I was
going to
joke and say there's more for sale signs on houses than political signs.
yeah,
it's the moment. But there's some really interesting stuff in Tri-Corner. Like, if you look at it, it's really a snapshot of what's happening right now, where you have like these immense estates that are selling for asking price, and you have they're advertising stuff down in Bridgeport, because I think that the housing stock is getting low, and there's a hunger up here.
Yep.
Well, and you'll see in Clem's ad, the theme is you just missed, and all these properties have sold.
Yeah, and pretty amazing, pretty amazing. Well, let's go to Compass.
A lot going on. I have to say, that's one thing about COVID, is that there's a lot of stuff on Zoom that you might not necessarily go to, but that you can watch from the comfort of your home. And Lucinda Williams, who really has one of the most, she's sort of like the Emmy Lou Harris of another generation, very gravelly, very Southern, interesting singer. And so she's doing a series of concerts to support local music venues, like the Mahawi in Great Barrington is one, and the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie. And so you can go onto the website and click on to support her show, which supports your individual theater that you select. And she's doing six shows. I think the first one is a tribute to Tom Petty. And she's got Bob Dylan coming up and Muscle Shoals. It's a very interesting list, so read the story. You can find out what that's about. The always popular Wanda Houston Band is doing a fundraiser for Dewey Hall. Again, that is also online. The Antidote is a film made by a local filmmaker who's also an award-winning documentary filmmaker, and he is, they're showing The Antidote online to benefit the movie house. So if you want to support the movie house, go on and watch their virtual screenings. But there's going to be a talk with beloved John Carter from the Salisbury St. John's Church, and from with John Hoffman and Jennifer Dowley, who was head of Berkshire Tacona Community Foundation, and such a compassionate, wonderful person. A listing of Halloween films, and we've got the Four Brothers Drive-In, we've got the Mahaley, which is indoors, we've got the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck, and there's also things going on at Hancock Shaker Village and Sharon Audubon. And then a really interesting look at the history of French cuisine, Marianne Tabin, and that is an interesting talk that's coming up on Zoom. And, well, I guess that's it for this week. But there's a lot going on, so keep your eye on Compass.
Well, there's a cemetery walk in Pine Plains. The Wasaic Project is doing something this weekend.
Ooh,
it's a parade. It's a parade. So,
a glee parade.
So
they're
people,
nervous, though. All these towns are nervous about having a lot of... So we actually had talked to the people in Wasaic, and they're like, you know what, we'd rather actually not have you put something in the paper because we're nervous that people are going to just inundate us from all the towns because there's such an eagerness on the part of families and children to get out. So do be considerate of your own...
Well, you stay in your own town this year. Don't go. Don't go town shopping. Just stay in your own town, and just be safe. All right. Well, happy Halloween, guys. We'll see the real Halloween date is coming up on next Tuesday. We'll see what happens to the pumpkin on Tuesday.
The great pumpkin.
The horror show, Wilson.
We'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. TriCornerNews.com is the website, TriCornerNews.com, and, of course, on your newsstands. And they feature home delivery as well.